right. How you doing this afternoon? I tell you what, we're going to have a very, very interesting interview this afternoon. The one and only Cameron Dorn is sitting across from me on the table right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. He's just been on a 45,000-mile trip, and he's got a lot to talk about. It's always fun to talk to Cameron. The last time he was here, we were talking. He was over in England, and we tried to hook up with him with the royal wedding because you had some good seats for that. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah. And now, look, they've gotten married and had a baby, and life has moved on.
Yeah. Time does fly.
Time does fly. And Cameron, you always keep mixing it up and having a good time. The last time I think I knew you were out on the West Coast.
That's correct.
Yeah, working.
Portland, Oregon with a company named Health Right Products.
Yeah.
Doing some formulations and supplements and doing sales for them all over the U.S. basically.
Yeah. And of course, what'd you get, bored?
Yeah. What? I knew, like I said, I finished my degree. I did my master's over in England and then went to work in the office for about 2 years, and it was nice. It paid well, but that's not where I wanted to be in life. So I knew then at the age of 24, I was like, why not give something else a try? And I had a little time, saved up some money, and went on this trip.
Yeah. Okay. And this trip took you to many, many, many locations. Now, how did you decide where you were going?
Well, first of all, the trip all started about because I made a promise with a Lander graduate friend of mine in 2009. We said we would run with the Bulls in 2013, right?
And what friend was this?
Dylan Potts.
Oh, Dylan. Okay.
He's a banker up in New York. And then another friend of mine, Piers DeGrucci, that graduated Lander, Lander golf player, he was in for running with the Bulls as well. And he stays over in Jersey.
Okay.
Not New Jersey, but Jersey, the small island south of England.
Okay.
Which is, that's a trivia question in itself.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Okay.
So I had to run with the Bulls, and I had already used up some of my vacation days. I was like, my, that's going to be a long trip to go there and fly right back.
Right.
And plus, my parents, best parents in the world, shout out to Hoyt and Patty.
Absolutely.
Dorn.
The Dorns, yes.
Yeah. Well, they... For each year, like last year, I was lucky enough to get them a trip to Alaska for Christmas to go see it. But this year, I was like, oh, I'm going to send my parents to Paris and Rome.
Wow.
So, got them a trip lined up to Paris and Rome. But in saying that, when they went to Alaska last year, they said, oh, the only bummer was that you went in there with us. And I'm the only child, you know, like we spoke about. So, I was like, I've got to visit Paris and Rome with them. Well, and... not enough vacation time for both. Hence, I had to quit my job.
That's pretty gutsy, Cameron.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, there aren't many people that would just say, oh, vive la France, I'm just going to quit life, quit the job here. Yeah.
So I needed essentially 15 days and didn't have enough vacation. It was a small amount of vacation we're getting. So then I was like, all right, I've got 15 days to go. Why not just turn it into a trip around the world? And, there you go. There you have it.
What gave you the courage to do this?
I've never lacked courage.
Okay.
Just the ability, number one, being 25, not being tied down, not married, did not have a girlfriend. So I was like, why not do it now?
Right.
And luckily, I'd saved up finances. Not that it's a huge amount of finances. You can go out and buy a new motorcycle and spend more than you can to go around the world, literally. So I just thought it would be good to do.
Okay. So you started off, so you ran with the Bulls?
Correct.
Yes. And the three of you?
Three of us, yes.
Three. And everybody survived?
Everybody survived. That was in July, but the trip started in May, so.
Started in May.
It was even earlier than that. You know, as soon as I left the job, I drove cross country. Actually, before I left the job, I had a friend from Greenville fly out, and we rode our bikes from Portland, Oregon, to San Francisco. So 850 miles in 8.5 days. So that was a...
So 100 miles a day.
Right.
Yeah, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay.
And then 50 miles the last day.
Right,
we were slackers. And then I had another friend after that. I was like, there's no need to keep the townhouse that I was staying in Portland. So I sold the bed, sold the couch, and just packed up some boxes, put them in the Land Rover, and naturally he flew in from Utah. And we had this, I bought a little cabin. It's a 4x8 essentially box with a memory foam mattress in it and two RV windows. I call it the Cabin of Courage.
Cabin of Courage.
Yes. And we were like, all right, let's drive to South Carolina. Well, naturally, we went through Canada to get through South Carolina.
That's a logical choice.
Exactly. So we ended up crushing 4,000 miles when the straight drive could have been 2,100 miles and took 3 weeks driving across North America. And then it was time to go on the trip. To overseas. You know?
Well, what was the best part of the Canadian-U.S. trip then?
Well, the Cabin of Courage. Let's, you know,
Cabin of Courage. Cabin,
aluminum roof. It's got mountains painted on the side. It's hilarious. And every time we met somebody, they would sign the little storage box on top of it. It broke down like twice.
Yeah.
One time, the funniest part is a weld came undone in Duluth, Minnesota. And I think it was February, early March. And this gentleman was welding it completely for free. He was like, I like this thing. And he was welding it so much and he was into it. And we had to tell him that he was on fire because his Carhartt jacket actually caught on fire. And he didn't even know it. He's just like, I like this thing. It was funny.
You know, Cameron, I hope you're writing all these experiences down to be able to write a book here. Because when you write this book, I want to interview you because it's going to be a bestseller.
I am.
A life according to Cameron here.
I have what I call the chapters of courage.
The chapters of courage.
You see a theme, right?
Yeah, I do. I see a theme here. So, but where was there any place in the U.S. that you particularly have been enthralled with? Because I know overseas there are some places you think are great.
Within the U.S., the only state I've left to visit is Alaska. I would love to visit there. But every other state I've spent time in, not an airport or anything. I'm a huge fan of Northwest. I think Oregon's beautiful. Due to, like, Portland, where I was living, it was 50 miles from the coast, yet 50 miles from Mount Hood, a 12,000-foot mountain to go play on. And then you have everything that you need in the large town of Portland, large city.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, and the people, the outdoors,
that's,
I really
a good
like
environment.
It. But there's nothing like Waterloo, South Carolina.
Waterloo, South Carolina! Yeah, there's a nice comparison there.
Right. I love Waterloo, South Carolina.
Yeah, well, South Carolina has a lot to, you know, except I didn't realize it was just 50 miles difference out there, because one of the other days we were just talking about you can be in Greenwood and be at the beach.
Right.
And then 3 hours later you can be in the mountains.
Correct.
So
correct.
We have a great state from that standpoint.
Right.
Yeah. So you made it back here, and then you said?
I knew that I had the trip planned before then. I knew parts of it because a friend of mine as well, he was like, oh, man, I'm going to leave my job also. And he's up in Boston. He's from Boston.
You got a good network going, don't you, Cameron? I think, you know, that's one of the important things to have, isn't it?
Right.
A network. Yes,
it is.
Yes.
It is. And staying in touch with those friends now, I mean, I love technology, but I hate technology. But Facebook's great. You know, it's easy to stay in touch with somebody from around the world with just a couple type it and leave them a message.
Sure.
But good friend of mine from grad school, we met in England, and we wanted to do a trek. So have you heard the Camino de Santiago?
Okay.
And that is the Way of St. James. There's a famous movie about it called The Way by Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. Right.
Right. So we were either going to do that one or the Israeli National Trail from one end to the other. And it just lined up. It's a better time right now to do the one in Spain.
Yes, I would think so.
Right.
Yes.
Right. See,
safety. Right. Safety here.
Calculated
yes.
risk. Only. Yeah. Calculated risk. But this trail runs 520 miles. We did the Camino Norte to the Camino Primitivo. So that drops you from the border of France along the coast of Spain halfway across the country. Then you drop down through the Picos de Europa through the mountains. And you're staying at monasteries with monks, camping out in the open, meeting people from all walks of life throughout the world, and covering 520 miles within 28, 29 days is what we did today.
It does help that you're in good shape and you're American and everything, too, I presume.
Right. Yeah. The first one, yes. The second one could be subjective.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yeah. I'm sure it was a fabulous trip. So, what was it like to stay in monasteries and everything?
The coolest part of the monastery is they give you a blessing at night, cook you soup in this huge container.
Yeah,
delivers it. But the worst part is at 5 a.m. he comes in and sweats the lights on. He's like, Buenos dias. You know?
Get up.
Get up and get out, you know. I think he said Buenos dias, hasta luego. You know, like pretty much go.
No breakfast?
No breakfast.
No breakfast.
Leftover soup.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now how much are you spending on this trip so far? I mean, you know.
The big tickets are always crossing the ocean, you know. Anytime, right. Of course, the Pacific is going to be a larger ticket flying from South Carolina than, say, the Atlantic. So you can find budget. I can tell you directly, actually, from New York to Paris. Flew in there. Mm-hmm. Found it for $410 direct.
Wow.
And that's a really good deal with XL Airlines.
And so this was a one-way ticket?
One-way ticket, correct.
Yeah.
And one way, the whole time on the trip, I kept flying east. That was my goal. Sometimes I'd fly south or north, but
right.
I would never come back west, essentially. I try to avoid that. So literally, I could make my way around the world.
Cool. Well, we are here with Cameron Doran. Yes, he is a world traveler. He can tell you how to do it cheap and have a great time, too. He's got some fabulous stories. We're going to be talking about Nepal, Burma, oh, the Himalayas. He was in Morocco. He was everywhere. And you're going to hear all about it right here on WCRS. But right now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, having a fascinating conversation with Cameron Doran. Always good to sit down with him. The energy that this guy has. No wonder he can go everywhere and do everything. You know, you got that Johnny Cash song, I've been everywhere. I should have played that for you here today. Yeah, I've been everywhere. Yep, there you go. But, you know, we were just talking about what happened when you ran with the Bulls.
Right.
Yeah. Tell us about this now, Cameron.
So the short of it pretty much is Running with the Bulls happens in Pamplona. It's called the San Fermin Festival. It happens every July 7th through the 12th, roughly. And it's made famous by Ernest Hemingway. It's a novel. He gets in it, Run with the Bulls. Well, at that time, there was only like 200, 300 people running with these bulls. Well, fast forward to 2013, you've got Rex Ryan, the head football coach from New York Jets, coming to run with the Bulls. So imagine that brings in 2,999 others.
Right.
Half mile. We're all stuck in this together. It's going to be a mess. And it was a mess.
So did you get hit by any of the Bulls?
No. I smacked the bull twice with a newspaper.
Oh, my God.
He was running by me.
Yes.
But you cannot run with the bulls. You can only jog due to the amount of people in there. And you're sectioned off, and before you run the bulls, you have to get in there at 6 a.m., and the streets are being cleaned from the nights of partying. I mean, I've never seen so much stuff or smelled. Oh, there's literally fire hoses and on the street.
Oh my
blowing
God.
All the trash off. Or just washing it away.
No, yeah.
And trucks are running over bottles, and they're just popping. You're in here just shielding your eyes. You're like, the danger's not just running with the bulls. It's getting blinded by one of these bottles that's popping everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we started. Before it starts even, there's like 8 different languages, and they're just saying that pretty much you can die by this, you know?
Do you have to sign any release or anything
there? No, that was their way of doing it.
Oh, just doing it over the loudspeaker.
Correct. And the police come through and bring out anyone that looks like they've been drinking. Also women. They don't allow women, believe it or not, which is quite sexist.
Very sexist, yes.
So a lot of women had their hair pulled back in caps.
You know? I'm serious?
Yeah, so they were doing all right. And their heads down. Actually, one lady was hiding behind me. She was nice as can be. I don't know what language she was speaking, but she stayed there.
Yeah.
And you have the white on with the red scarf and the red belt. Well, a firework goes off, and that says that the bulls are out of the pen. Well, the whole running only lasts like 3.5-4 minutes. But here's the catch. You want to make it to the arena with the bulls, not before the bulls. Well, I'm about to run, and I literally grab my buddy Pierce and Dylan, and I'm like, hold the line. Don't move. Because if you make it to the arena before the Bulls, they're throwing glass bottles and other things at you.
Oh my goodness.
Because it's distasteful. You did not run from the Bulls. Yo. You ran away from the Bulls.
Okay.
You know?
So you knew this piece of trivia that was so important.
Right, yes. Right. Lots of culture things going on now, you know, our local knowledge. Well, we ran, and next thing you know, we started at a place called Dead Man's Curve.
Dead Man's Curve, right. Okay.
That's the only curve, because they go on a straightaway, and then it's a quick just slalom. And that's where you see if the Bulls fall sometimes. That's where they always fall at.
Okay.
Well, no longer. We had like 500 meters to where we got into the entranceway. We had not been running 100, 150 meters. These Bulls just come up, and you can hear them just pounding, their hooves pounding the cobbles. And they've got these big bells around them.
And they're mad that they're wearing the darn bells.
Right. And it's just some people are getting, we're trampling over people. It's just bodies. All of us. I got hit in the jaw by a policeman because he was pushing me back away from. I wasn't going for the guardrail, but I guess he thought I was trying to run towards him. And he just puts his arm out and just got me right.
Socked you right now.
I didn't feel it one bit until after. And we made it all in to the arena. Mm-hmm. So then imagine 8,000 people just screaming and shouting.
With the Bulls in there.
Then they put the Bulls up for a second.
And okay.
It's like, oh, this is not bad. And luckily, we all, Dylan, Piers, and I found each other, and we were standing next to each other. Then they release one Bull at a time for 5 to 6 minutes, and he just goes around the arena, and you have to dodge.
He's just crazed, right? I'm sure.
Yes. And people lay under the gate, and he jumps over them. But the first Bull didn't jump. He just stepped. And you just look at these people just getting stepped on.
My gosh.
It's chaos.
Chaos.
Right. And once you're in the arena, you can't get out. It's disrespectful because you're a participant. They won't let you. They'll push you back in if you try to get out.
Wow. So did any of you guys get hit by the Bulls?
Yeah. Dylan, my buddy from New York, did. He was actually going to try to jump the Bull in the arena.
Jump the Bull in the arena.
Right. But
craziness with craziness, right? Okay.
He did about the furthest thing from jumping the Bull. He completely froze up in the eyes of the Bull, and the Bull just hit him head on, and he got flipped.
Yeah. Wow.
No horns, though.
No horns on these Bulls.
No
okay.
Horns. Or they had horns, but he did not get gored.
Gored. Okay. Right. All right. So was he hurt?
Only his pride.
Only his pride?
Only his pride.
So you got videos of any of this?
I do.
You do?
Have videos.
Videos of this? Yeah.
Jeez. Not the videos of when you run with the Bulls, they will, the local Spanish, if you disrespect the Bull, like try to grab onto the Bull, they will mob you and punch you and kick you.
Oh my goodness.
It's a madness. But you can't take video cameras with you while you run. Because
so you can't have one on your head while you're running?
Some people did,
okay.
But you risk the thing. If the police see you with that on,
yeah,
they'll take the camera and just throw it or take it from your kick.
It's a little different philosophy than in America, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
There's no loss. There's no like, oh, I'm going to sue you or anything. It's
right.
Like, look, your camera's out this way against the wall.
So how did you get videos of it?
The second day, we took pictures beforehand,
right.
But then put them in our pocket.
Right.
The second day, or third, right before we flew to the airport, we just watched the running of the Bulls, and I took the video.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, of other people running it. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, and you still went on with more trip.
No, that was just the beginning.
That was just the beginning. Well, you know, when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of your other adventures. Where did you go? We won't give them any details, but where did you go on this trip?
The trip as far as countries visited?
Right, yes.
So we went to France and Spain, Portugal, Morocco, Italy, Nepal, Thailand, Malaysia, Burma, Australia, New Zealand, and then back home.
And then back home. Wow.
Well, to L.A.
Went to L.A. Yeah. Now, so that's another country. That's another country. Now, how long was this trip?
4 months.
4 months.
4 months.
Now, you could really get to know where you were at on this trip, then, I would presume.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could really get the feel of it. It's not like just here for a day and here for a day. You really spent some time at each
Correct.
One of these places.
Right.
So, all right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more with Cameron about being in Nepal, maybe being in Burma. You're just not going to believe some of the stories here. It's just fascinating. And I'm so glad he was able to come and sit with us here today. So, news is up. We'll be back. Don't you go away. Hey, if you got a question for Cameron, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're back here. Exciting conversation going on. You know, Cameron, you and I were just talking about, you know, being 25 and going out and experiencing the world. That does seem to be something that a lot of young people don't do in the world today.
Right, right.
What allowed you or what made you have this desire to go out and experience life?
Like I said to you over the break, I was like, if you don't go, you never know, right?
Right.
I could have sat there at my job the whole time in Portland and
been safe.
Yeah, padded my bank account just like this, you know, not to compare it, whatever makes you happy, number one. I'm
right.
not saying this is for all, right?
Right?
I'm just merely using my own life experiences to say this from and friends,
sure. right?
Right. But if something's in the back of your head and it's eating away at you, maybe sometimes just saying yes to it or saying why not instead of why is better off. Just going for it.
You know, the neat thing about this is, Cameron, you won't get to be 50 or 55 or 60 and have a bucket list of things you want to do.
Right.
You
right.
will have done them.
Right. Or continue to do exactly what I'm doing, you know?
Because
with each age or each year brings new experiences. And if you think about that from a traveling perspective, then each country, each person you meet opens up doors, like we were saying, have a great network.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
There's never a time if I was bored. Oh, one buddy, he wants to go sell the world from Duluth, Minnesota. I could go be a Buddhist monk in Thailand right now, or I could go to New Zealand and work at this shop. Right? It's unlimited opportunity. And the same goes true for everyone around. Use your resources. Use their resources. Not use, but just
network the opportunities.
Right, right.
Yes.
And look out for their interest, and they'll look out for your interests.
Sure.
It's just that simple.
Yeah. And that's what, when kids went to college back in the day, that was one of the biggest things that you got out of college. It wasn't necessarily the education was good, but that ability to network with other people.
Well said.
Yeah. That's
I agree
true.
Completely.
And, you know, you just wonder whether that happens. We have so many people now that I think we go the safe direction instead of getting out of our comfort zone a
right,
little bit.
Right. And I call comfort zone a comfort pit.
Comfort pit. I like
That's
it.
That's exactly what it is, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And where the magic happens is as far away from your comfort zone or pit that you can imagine, you know?
Yeah. I understand. Now, how does your mother feel about all this, though, Cameron?
She's completely on board, you know? Because who is
You
it?
Are an only child here,
correct,
Cameron.
Correct. Abraham Lincoln had a quote, you know, it's not the number of years in your life, but the life in your years.
Right.
And you see that, I mean, granted, you can live to be 95 out of a beautiful life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel at 25, I've done about as much as a person that's 75. So I'm packing it in there, you know, if dog years or whatever, I mean, I'm aging up there right now. I feel 25, but I feel I've got a lot of experiences.
Now, you, where was one of your favorite places to go?
As far as people, or
people
it's just
and,
everything?
And relate, the time that you spent there.
Right, definitely Nepal.
Nepal. What made Nepal great?
You talk to somebody from Nepal, and if they can speak English, number one, they say Nepal. And it's an acronym, they say Never Ending Peace and Love. And you're like, oh, what a country, right?
Right.
Not to mention you got Mount Everest in it and all kinds of other little playgrounds to go adventure on. I'm talking Nepal right above India and below China. So think about that. And who would think with the Himalayas, the world's highest mountain, you would also have a tropic, a little part of the tropic. And it's got tigers and one-horned rhinos there in Chitwan National Forest.
Did you stay in the National Forest?
I did not. I stayed north of it. Okay. I did not even go to the National Forest there because it was monsoon season.
Oh, okay.
And it was just yellow fever could have been at risk at that time.
So what else did you what did you do while you were in Nepal?
I trekked the Annapurna Circuit, which National Geographic in 2011 put as their top ranked trek to do in the world.
You've done it.
Right. I actually met a Navy SEAL on a bus. That was the only other Westerner. He didn't have a
map. You didn't meet Austin, did you?
No, I did not.
Austin Brown didn't happen to show up on the trek, did he?
Right. Austin and I might have a little adventure plan in the forthcoming months.
Okay, all
right. But great. In Nepal, you take a local bus. Now, everybody, a local bus, it was $3 US. Okay. For a 9-hour bus ride.
Nine hours for $3.
Right.
Okay.
I stood up 7.5 of those hours. I actually timed on my stopwatch the amount of time I was standing up. And this bus, I'm 6'1", and I think the bus was 6 foot at the ceiling.
So your head was bumping it.
My head, I had that slight knee bend going on. Yeah. And there was a dent in the roof of the bus that when I found it just right, I could stand up straight. So I was standing in this little bend in the roof the whole time. And this bus ride, I'm talking mud roads right there, just meandering through the Himalayas. Above the clouds, you're on a bus. It took 9 hours to go roughly 100 miles.
Fascinating.
And if you took a restroom break, there was no restrooms. The men went to the right side of the road, and the women went to the left side of the road. You got back on the bus.
Did everybody take a restroom break at the same time?
Everybody,
we're taking a break here now.
Right, exactly. Right
pee
there
if
on
you, pee
road.
If you got to go. Right. There you go.
But the short end of the stick is that the men, you know, on the right side, we were outwards on the cliff on the way going. But on the way coming back, the women have it. So it balanced out, you know. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, one of the things you had been telling me off air is the people are not all staring at their cell phones.
Right. It's beautiful. I'm 25, and I probably hate technology. It's great, but it can be useful, but it's so overrated for my generation. Like I was telling you, I love Bob Seger, and I love to listen to vinyl albums.
Oh, my God. You are a throwback.
And I still love VHS tapes. When I was coming back from Portland, I've got a huge VHS collection. I know that's still the 90s and
right.
the 2000s. But it's not everybody's just sitting there typing away or texting. The real conversation is the person you're with.
Right.
Why not? If they've made enough time to come out with you, that says everything. Then you should embellish and love that conversation. Not
sure.
So much a... Granted, my mother, if she texts me or something, I had to get back to her. But
right.
She would be all right if it waited 20 or 30 minutes.
Sure,
know?
Exactly. Yeah, I think one of the most amazing things is to see people out to dinner and a group of particularly younger people
right.
all sitting there looking at their phones, texting, and then showing a picture or something
right.
back and forth. But they're not really communicating
right.
with the person across
no.
the table from them.
No, they're not living in that moment right then and now.
Exactly. Yeah. So what else did you do while you were there? Didn't you help out at an orphanage?
I did. After Nepal, actually in Nepal, I went to grad school with a friend of mine, Sanjay, and he flew over from eastern Nepal, and we met together. He showed me downtown Kathmandu, amazing place, you know, just through the streets. I mean, literally I saw a person carrying a refrigerator on their back.
A refrigerator?
Yes, he had it head strapped. Just like this, and he was walking down the street with a refrigerator on his back.
See, we just can't appreciate this, can we?
No.
No, I mean, as Americans, we cannot appreciate this.
No. And if I needed a ride, what would we do? Me and him, even though we were together, we would put our hand out for a motorcycle or
right.
a scooter, and they would stop.
They'd give you a ride?
They were not a taxi. They were not anything. We'd jump on the back. When it was time to get off, I'd just tap them right on the right shoulder. He'd give me a thumbs up. I'd step off his bike. No money interchanged.
Just the goodwill of the country.
Just the goodwill, yes. And hotel, for example, talking about money spent, $2.70 a night downtown Kathmandu.
Well, what'd you get for that $2.70?
It was two beds in the room. I didn't need the extra bed. TV.
Right.
TV, yeah. I didn't ever turn the TV on, so I did not know if it worked. Balcony. It was nice.
$2.70.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I tell you what, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the orphanage that he worked at for a little bit. But right now, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be back. This, I tell you what, people need to get out and live a little and take that opportunity, take that plunge. That's what Cameron's all about, and I'm enjoying talking to him. Don't you go away.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. You know, you just said something, a picture's nice, but there's nothing like seeing it with your own eyes. And, you know, I think that is one of the things that the computer has done to people. They think they don't need to experience some of these things because they can see it on the computer.
Right.
Can you?
When in turn, it should just inspire you to go see it.
In person, yeah.
Right.
Like, how can you imagine the Himalayas?
Right. You cannot. It's impossible. You know? I can show you a picture. Austin Brown. Perfect example. We use Austin Brown here.
Okay, Austin.
Austin, before he came to visit me in Oregon, right? He's from South Carolina. He's never seen that much snow. I'm like, dude, there's going to be snow on top of snow on top of snow when we climb this. And he's super fit. But he's like, so I take him out there to Mount Rainier. It's in February. Me and him's the only one on this 14,000-foot mountain. Literally, when we're driving up there, he could not fathom that the snow is double the size of your car. And he's like, look at all that snow. I'm like, Austin, we're about to stand on like 10 times this when we go to the mountain. He's like, you mean it never melts? I'm like, no, it does not.
Now, how can a South Carolina guy understand that?
Right.
Unless you've seen it. Yes.
Unless you've seen it.
Exactly. So that's what we're talking about here is just the experience of life. I think a computer can enhance getting ready to go on an experience.
Right.
But to be there and experience is just the best. Now, you went to work at an orphanage.
Correct.
Tell us about this experience. What made you want to do that?
So I thought part of the trip, it should be definitely, I'm all about giving back to wherever you're at. It's nice to go and spend money in whatever economy you're at, but there's nothing like living like the local or helping the locals out. So a friend of mine actually linked me up with another friend that was a German doctor. And she moved from Germany, starting an orphanage in Maysat. Maysat is on the border of Burma, and it's actually just a huge refugee camp area. It's a really tough place because a lot of the Burmese individuals are coming off to Maysat, which is in Thailand technically, but you get your passport checked 20 miles back in Thailand.
Okay.
So they've laxed the border for those 20 to 30 miles there. And all these individuals come over there. They're pretty much stateless. There's no papers. They receive no funding. That means they receive no food, nothing. They're just, it's like a comparison, terrible way to say it, but like a dog that's a mixed breed has no papers.
Right.
Same exact thing. They cannot be adopted for that reason. So they're basically stuck within these 30 miles vertically the rest of their lives. So I thought that would be a good place to go and visit and just get a pulse on the local situation there and see how that is. And
so what'd you do?
Worked at the orphanage. The plan was when I worked there, it helped build some infrastructure, some concrete walls, build some doors, put some gutters up. Being I'm from Waterloo, those are things you learn when you're, you know, young.
Right. Growing up, yeah.
But it turned into also helping with the kids. I mean, I picked up two kids on the back of a bicycle that squeaked and rode them home from school. Yeah. And they're just happy as can be, you know. Lily Waddy and the other kid's name was Nick. And I don't think his real name
was
Nick.
Okay.
Yeah. But we stayed there, and the orphanage was a farmhouse. That's all, or actually a barn. And it had no walls on the side. It was just a big, you know, just a A-frame building.
Right.
Concrete floor where the cows actually used to be is where I slept. That was cleaned up on a thatch mattress with a mosquito net around it. Eh, it was very, very basic living conditions. And to see these kids flourish when they have nothing and appreciate it, and they appreciate life, just life.
Yeah.
That you don't need this cell phone or you don't need this iPad, this, that, or the other. I mean, for goodness sakes, we played kickball for 4 hours when they learned how to play kickball barefoot, and they are kicking the heck out of this ball. And I'm like, they're not even crying. Not once.
Not once.
Not once. No kid. I remember that. For 2 weeks, I did not hear one kid cry. And the youngest one was 3.
Wow.
His name was Felix, and he loved to be thrown in the air. And one time I threw him too high and hit his head on a board.
Oh, God.
But he smiled. And I was like, I knew he was going to cry.
Nope.
Yeah. Tough as nails.
And you said they had the same hose pipe that was for the shower was for the toilet.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
There was just a hole in the ground.
A hole in the ground to, you know, just facilitate the passing through of the stuff.
Yeah. So why did you do it?
I don't believe in entitlement. You know, I think you should work for your own, everything that you come across, right? It's nice when somebody helps you out, but unless we know what it's like to live with nothing, then we can't really appreciate anything. So it's all adding to your bank of life experiences,
yeah.
Right?
Wow. I bet they really appreciated the fact you were helping build the stuff and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
It was good. Hand drills.
Hand drills.
Using a hand drill for a door, you know?
Did they have power?
Right. No, no.
No power?
No, no.
Wow. So when it got dark, everything was over.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was candles and things like that.
Yeah. But still, and I bet the mosquitoes, I mean, that's a pretty.
Oh, yes. Yes. 20 or so bites a night, you know?
20 or so bites a night?
I sprayed everything. I remember I was going through a thing of the small 3-ounce scale. Cans of mosquito spray. Every 2 nights, on average, I would go through mosquito spray, but they were still.
They didn't care.
Full. They did not care.
They did not care. Were they big?
I don't know. I just swatted. You know?
Swatted. Wow. All right. So you did that, and what else? So you were in the Sahara.
Sahara in Morocco. Went out to the Sahara Desert. I was in Portugal with a friend of mine, an Italian lady, Amela Camino. She's a great climber. She's actually in Nepal right now. Going after a summit on like the 14th highest mountain in the world.
Okay.
Insane. And I've never seen anybody be so fit but smoke. So still trying to understand that one, Ann. So I was in Portugal and I was going to fly to Marrakesh down in Morocco. Well, the Portuguese went on strike. And goodness sakes, I had to take local buses. I felt I was like, okay, my flight's canceled. I'm just going to take local buses all the way down. Catch a boat from Europe to Africa, which I did. Right? It was supposed to be a 4-hour plane ride, but it ended up taking me 2.5 days to get to my destination. Actually, longer because I found friends along the way. So I extended it out. And riding the train going through the desert, you kick the door open. There's no air con. So it's 106 degrees. It's in July in Morocco in the desert. And I'm just holding on to the edge of the rail of the train. Open air going 60 miles an hour down the road. Indiana Jones style. It's a proud moment of my life.
Proud moment of your life? That is great. Yeah, you know, I got to tell you a story. Jeff was in the military, and he was with an attaché unit in Ethiopia. And they had a compound there, and one day he looked up, and here comes a guy on a donkey coming across the desert there, and he looks up, and it was a National Geographic group, and it was one of his best friends had found him out in the desert in Ethiopia, and coming to see him.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that happens out there. Yeah.
And you don't know until you go.
Until you go. That's right. Well, you know, I guess we could probably talk on here, but we got to talk about what you're doing now. I understand you've got this, you've given me this cookie here that I'm supposed to eat for breakfast.
Right,
it weighs about a couple of pounds, I'm sure. No, tell us a little bit about this cookie.
It's tasty. So lucky enough, I've throughout my travels, and I still race elite triathlon, a doctor that I'm with, work with, is Dr. Rick Katoof. Came up with a cookie, and everything. I was in the supplement business for a couple of years, and everybody hates to swallow pills, no matter how you take it. So we're like, why not come up with something that tastes good? What is everyone thinks good, tastes good, is a cookie.
Right.
But we also mix the nutrients. It's balanced with the carbohydrates and 15 grams of protein in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to get into the local markets. He's based out of Greenville, South Carolina. So it's actually getting in the coffee stores around town. Aromas Coffee will have it and things like that sort. So we're setting it up now. You can also buy it online, of course.
But the idea is that you have that for breakfast, not for dinner.
Right. Yes. You have it for breakfast or before a workout or something like that.
For a workout. And it gives you lots of energy.
Correct. Correct.
And you don't get hungry.
Right. Not at all. It's 410 calories in that cookie with 15 grams of, I mean, as much as a tuna can, but it's in a cookie.
In a cookie.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's pretty darn good. Right. So are you going to be working with him then? Is that what you think?
Right. We have been working together for 4 years developing stuff, and I race for him. But I was the one, he designed it, and I don't mind doing some leg work since I'm home right now, getting out and putting in some stores.
Absolutely.
So that's the goal.
So what's the goal futuristically?
Futuristic, coming back now, I'm enjoying every second, and of course, the Lakelands area, Waterloo. But I think the next step for me, I'm going to take a pilot's test on the 23rd to pursue being a pilot in the Air Force and see how that works out.
Wouldn't be any influence from Austin Brown, would it?
No, not at all. He's like the best buddy of mine. So he's actually at Green Beret, going for Green Beret. And but I cannot stand, the moral compass in me will no longer let me chase a dollar sign rather than saying I have a purpose. And from traveling, the one thing you learn is how good we have it in the U.S. as far as standard of living, ease of living. And I think... If I turned a blind eye to that, and I think service is a good way to stand up for your country, I would just, it'd be a hypocrite from my position. So
you're going to see if you can become a pilot in the Air Force. If not, something else will turn up.
Exactly. There's opportunity everywhere. So.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking about going to North Dakota, folks, to check out the oil rush, I guess we could call it. Instead of the gold rush, we could call it the oil rush up there and see what's going on. But I expect we will have Cameron Dorn back with us again because he's always doing something exciting. It's been a long time, but it certainly has been an exciting show this afternoon.
Right. It's been a real pleasure. I enjoyed it. We'll have to do this again.
Absolutely. And so if you want to find out more about Cameron, you have a Facebook page.
Correct.
What is it?
It's Cameron Dorn. And
what?
Imagine
who
that.
Knew? Cameron Dorn. Check him out and follow him on Facebook. You'll be glad you did. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Cameron, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you, Ann.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.